Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 13, which is incidentally the last chapter that was translated by Srila Prabhupada before he left us in 1977. And today's verse is text number 16. Tato vatsan adrishvaita puline pi cha vatsapan ubhav api vane krishna vichikaya samantataha tato vatsan adrishvaita Pulene pi cha vatsapan Ubhava pi vane krishno Vichikaya samantataha Tato vatsana dushtvaita Pulene pi cha vatsapan Ubhava pi vane krishno Vichikaya samantataha Tato vatsana dushtvaita Puline picha vatsapan Ubhava pivane krishno Vichikaya samantataha Please chant Tato vatsana dushtvaita Puline pi cha vatsapa Krishna Vichikaya Samantataha Tato vatsana jishchaita Puline pi cha vatsapa Ubhava pi Jikaya santataha Vaishnavis Tato vatsana jishchaita Puline pi cha vatsapa Ubhava pi vane krishno Vichikaya samantataha Tato vatsana jishtvaita Puline pi cha vatsapan Ubhava pi vane krishno Vichikaya samantataha Anyone else? Tato vatsana jishtvaita Puline pi cha vatsapan Ubhava pi vane krishna Vichikaya samantataha Okay, word meanings. Tataha Thereafter Vatsan The calves Adrishtva not seeing there within the forest. Etya after Puline api to the bank of the Jamuna. Cha also. But Sapan could not see the cowherd boys. Ubao api, both of them, the calves and the cowherd boys. Vane, within the forest. Krishna, Lord Krishna, Vichikaya, searched all over. Samantataha, here and there. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Thereafter, when Krishna was unable to find the calves, he returned to the bank of the river, but there he was also unable to see the cowherd boys. Thus he began to search for both the calves and the boys, as if he could not understand what had happened. Please repeat. Thereafter, when Krishna was unable to find the calves, he returned to the bank of the river, but there he was also unable to see the cowherd boys. Thus he began to search for both the calves and the boys, as if he could not understand what had happened. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Krishna could immediately understand that Brahma had taken away both the calves and the boys, but as an innocent child, he searched here and there, so that Brahma could not understand Krishna's maya. This was all a dramatic performance. A player knows everything, but still he plays on the stage in such a way that others do not understand him. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vicharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasata Deshtarani Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapatam Dena Bhutale Swai Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Tapada Kamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavaksha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tambatam Tang Sajivam Shadvaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vatangsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Dabosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripre Ancha Kalpataruvya Shakripa Sindhuva Cha Patitanang Pavanepyo Vaisavepyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. Krishna is not only easy to understand, it's impossible for us in our position as minute parts and parcels of Krishna to ever completely understand Krishna. He himself points that out in the Bhagavad Gita in the 10th chapter when he says, Name vidu suragana prabhava na maharshaya ahang adir hi devana maharshi nam cha sarvashaha. He says, no one understands me, not even these great demigods, rishis, they don't understand me. And why is that? Because in every respect he says, I am their source, they come from me. So if even the great demigods like Brahma is being demonstrated here and all the great rishis don't understand Krishna, what makes us think that we can understand Krishna? It's very difficult. Because not only is this pastime, his dealings with the coward boys, with the gopis, all his dealings in Vrindavan, not only is that pastime, but his manifestation, maintenance and destruction of this material world, that's also pastime. Shukadeva Goswami very famously pointed that out. I've mentioned many times that Shukadeva Goswami's prayers, he's the famous speaker of the Bhagavatam, but he has a series of prayers in the second canto, fourth chapter, and a lot of people are not even aware of it. They gloss over it. They just zoom by. They may remember one or two that Prabhupada repeated many times, like this Kirata Hunandar Pulinda Pulkasha Abhira Shumbha Yavanakasharaya. That verse comes from Shukadeva Goswami's prayers. But the whole prayer is beautiful. And Prabhupada actually has sung them. There's a recording, maybe not many are aware of it, where Prabhupada actually sings the entire prayer of Shukadeva Goswami. So the very first one to sing it and try to sing it the way Prabhupada sings it, he says, Nama Parasmai Purushaya Bhuyase Sat Udbhavastana Niroda Leelaya Grihita Shakti Tritayaya Dehiram Antarabhavayan Upalakshavartmane. So this is Shukadeva Goswami. He's speaking to a pure devotee, Parikshit Maharaj, but he doesn't start out again. It's very notable to remember this, that he doesn't start out speaking these pastimes of the 10th canto. He goes through the whole 10 subjects of the Bhagavatam, which are mentioned there in that second canto. Atra sarga vasarga sasta anaposha mutaya manvantarishana asha anakata nirodha muktir ashraya. I've always been pushing you all to remember those 10, because as we go through the Bhagavatam, we should see which topic is being covered. So not only, so he goes through these 10 topics that, of the Bhagavatam, but here in these specific prayers, he starts out by glorifying Krishna, by showing Krishna that he understands his position. Namaha, he's paying obeisance. Parasmai, Purushaya Bhuyasa. You're the Purusha. You're the control of everything. Sad, and the line that I'm tying into today's verse, Sad Udbhavastana Nirodha Leelaya. He says that the creation, maintenance, and ultimate destruction of this entire cosmos, material world, is Leela. It's your pastime. So we may be bewildered. Pastime? I'm suffering in this material world and this is God's pastime? Yes, it is His pastime. It's His mercy upon us because we want to experience what it's like to turn away from Krishna, to not have to pay attention to Krishna, to be our little Krishna ourselves. So Krishna says, okay, here's this material world. Go and enjoy. Try. But in the Bhagavad Gita, he warns us ahead of time, dukhalayam ashashvatam. It's a place of misery and it's temporary. As long as we think we're enjoying or there's possibility to enjoy, we don't care. But when the miseries come, then we blame God. You see? What kind of pastime is this? My grandmother died or some bomber blew up a bunch of innocent people. Why didn't you stop him? If you're God, you're all powerful, you're all cognizant, you know everything, you knew he was going to do that, why didn't you stop him? We don't ask God, why didn't you stop me from buying that ham sandwich yesterday? You see? And all the suffering that came from that. That pig was raised practically like a family member. All his needs were taken care of. He was fed. He was medical. If he had some problem, they call the vet, take care of my pig. And then in the end, cut the throat, turn it into ham. Nobody wants God to interfere with that. But if some bomber gets up one day and straps a bomb on the body and goes and blows up some people, why didn't you stop him from doing that? You see? The same ham sandwich eater, he doesn't want God to interfere with that or any of his other illicit activities, but God should stop the bombers of the world from blowing. No. So God creates this material world so that you can come and do any damn thing you want and enjoy and suffer the results. You see? Both things are there. Depending on what you do in this world, there's going to be some reaction, good or bad, that you have to enjoy or suffer. When the enjoying things come, oh, that's wonderful. Just like on Thursday night, I spoke at the Bhakti House, and I selected the verse, Ayur Harati Bhai Pungsam Udyan Asthanshya. So, Dasyartha Yatchinochita. Uttama Shloka Vartama, that just by rising and setting, the sun is decreasing the duration of everyone's life, except for the devotee who spends his time hearing and chanting, glorifying Uttama Shloka Krishna. So, in that purport, Prabhupada mentions about how charity should be given. That if you give charity to an unqualified person, then you get it back one to one. Every dollar you give, you're going to get a dollar back. If you give charity to a partially qualified brahmana, then you'll get it back thousands of times. And if you give charity to a fully qualified devotee of the Lord, then you can't measure your good fortune. How are you going to? So, based on what we do, we're going to get some result, good or bad. All living beings, Krishna says, they're born into this material world, and they're born alone, they are die alone, and alone they have to suffer or enjoy the good or bad results of their activities. There's that verse in the Bhagavatam also. So when we're enjoying, apparently enjoying, the good results of previous activities, God, yes, maybe no. Or just for insurance sake, I'll come to the temple and put a few dollars in the hundi just to cover my back. But I'm enjoying. I have my Mercedes. I have a good job. I have nice relations. So if it exists or doesn't exist, it doesn't really faze me. But again, when something bad happens, like today, we have so many bad political leaders. It's just, you have to be blind not to see that. And people can see, and therefore they're upset. And it doesn't matter who's elected. Some people are going to be happy, and then another set of people are going to be unhappy. And these bad political leaders, because they're under the control of the material energy, under the three modes of nature, at any moment they can do something really, really foolish, like pushing a button that they shouldn't push. And, you know, millions of people can die. And we're all aware of that, so we're uncomfortable, at least if you're not completely intoxicated and sleeping at the wheel. So this is the nature of the material world. We cannot blame God for this. This is what we wanted. We wanted independence. But that independence means that everybody else is also granted that independence and they can misuse it. We don't like that when they misuse it and it impinges on our little independence. I want to enjoy. I want to travel all over the world. But if I'm traveling on an American passport, automatically some people hate me. You're from America. I don't like you. Get out of here. They want to beat you up. They want to kill you just because you happen to take birth in America. So these things are going on. This is what happens when everybody's thrown into this material stew and the fire is time pushing it along and the modes of nature are just pulling everybody by the nose, but they can't see it. So this is the background of what's happening here in the 10th canto. If we fully appreciate and understand Krishna's position, as has been hammered into our heads by now, by the time we get to the 10th canto, all throughout the first canto, it's hammered into our heads, Krishna's position. He's not an ordinary person. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 1.1.10, it says, Kritavan kila karmani saharamena keshava atimartyanti bhagavan kuda kapata manusha. It says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, along with Balaram, came to this world and performed superhuman activities. But, to the foolish observer, they can't see that. They can't see. See? Guda kapata manusha. The general mass of people, manusha, huh? Being foolish, they don't see Krishna's position. He's covered. He's covered. Because sometimes he's apparently running away from Jarasandha. Ah, he's an ordinary person. They forget completely the 17 times that Krishna and Balaram completely wiped out all of Jarasandha's army, sent them back with his tail between his legs, and he had to get fired up again to come for another beating. But because on the 18th time, he ran away. Ah, just see. He's afraid of me. This is how covered we can become. So, if we understand Krishna's position, then we're not bewildered by these apparent dichotomies here. How he's the Supreme Lord, but at the same time he appears to be bewildered. He's looking for the calves, and then he comes back and the coward boys are gone, so he's looking for them. He appears to be bewildered. But if we've been fully indoctrinated again into what is Krishna's position, then we're not surprised. We're not surprised. So, just to remind us, I'm going to read a verse from the first canto, 8th chapter. Queen Kunti's prayer, the very first verse, she also states that she understands Krishna's position. Namaste purusham tvaryam ishwaram prakate param alakshya sarvabhutanam antar bahir avashitam. She says, my dear nephew Krishna, I know who you are. You're not just my nephew. I'm going to say purusham tvaryam. Ishvara, you are the supreme controller. You're controlling everything. Prakriti param, you're not only controlling the material nature, you're beyond it. Param. Anaksha sarvabhutanam, you're invisible to everyone. Although, antarbahir avashitam, you are inside and outside of everything. We can't see you. Just like we're all here, we're sitting here. We're discussing Krishna. Krishna's inside of us. He's in our hearts. He's in every atom. But we're not necessarily seeing Krishna. We're not focused on Krishna. We're focused on so many other things, important things in our lives. What I want to buy, what I want to sell, where I want to go, where I don't want to go again, who I want to see, who I never want to see again. These are the things that occupy our minds. We're not necessarily thinking about Krishna. So Kunti's pointing out that Krishna's inside of everything and he's outside of everything, yet he's invisible to us. So I wanted to read that purport. because it directly affects or is related to what we're reading in this section of the 10th canto. So Prabhupada says, Srimati Kunti Devi was quite aware that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, although he was playing the part of her nephew. So you see, Krishna is always playing parts. He's the supreme person. He's playing different parts. So he's playing the part of Kunti's nephew. Such an enlightened lady could not commit a mistake by offering obeisances unto her nephew. Therefore, she addressed him as the original Purusha beyond the material cosmos. Although all living entities are also transcendental, they are neither original nor infallible. So as jivas, souls, parts and parcels of Krishna, we are also transcendental. That's our nature. We're transcendental. In other words, we can't really be affected by this material energy. But because we're not as big as Krishna, we can be covered over and we forget our real nature. The living entities are apt to fall down under the clutches of material nature. But the Lord is never like that. In the Vedas, therefore, he is described as a chief among all living entities. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam. Then again, he is addressed as Ishvara, or the controller. The living entities, or the demigods like Chandra and Surya, are also, to some extent, Ishvara. But none of them is the supreme Ishvara, or the ultimate controller. He is the Parameshwara, or the Supersoul. He is both within and without. Although he was present before Srimati Kunti as her nephew, he was also within her and everyone else. In the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the Lord says, I am situated in everyone's heart, and only due to me one remembers, forgets, and is cognizant, and so on. Through all the Vedas I am to be known because I am the compiler of the Vedas and I am the teacher of the Vedanta. End of translation. Queen Kunti affirms that the Lord, although both within and without all living beings, is still invisible. The Lord is, so to speak, a puzzle for the common man. Queen Kunti experienced personally that Lord Krishna was present before her, yet he entered within the womb of Uttara to save her embryo, who is Parikshit, the very same Parikshit that Shukadeva Goswami is speaking to, from the attack of Ashwatthama's Brahmastra. Kunti herself was puzzled about whether Sri Krishna is all-pervasive or localized. In fact, he is both. But he reserves the right of not being exposed to persons who are not surrendered souls. This is the point. If by the time we get to the 10th canto we're not surrendered souls, then we're going to be bewildered by so many things that are discussed here. This checking curtain is called the Maya energy of the Supreme Lord, and it controls the limited vision of the rebellious soul. It is explained as follows. So the next verse, famous verse, Maya Jabani Kachinam Agyat Okshiram Abhyam, Alaksha say, there she worships Krishna as being beyond the range of limited sense perception, Dokshaja. And he's covered by the curtain of Maya, which he controls. It's not like an ordinary actor on a stage, somebody else is controlling the curtain. So if you're misbehaving and they want to put the curtain down, boom, you'd stop them. But Krishna controls that curtain of Maya. In other words, he can reveal himself to who he wants to and cover himself from whom he doesn't want to understand it. And Kunti says, and you're invisible. You can't be understood by ordinary people, just as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. So Krishna here, in this pastime and in all his pastimes, he's acting. So it appears that he doesn't know what's happening. It appears that he's searching for the coward boys and the calves, and Brahma is seeing the whole scene, and he's even more bewildered now. He's completely bewildered. So this is going on. Krishna's pastimes are unfolding. It's ascribed to the internal energy, the internal potency, Yoga Maya. She's making the arrangements. But ultimately, Krishna's in control of everything and everyone, and therefore he can bewilder anyone at any time. And in this case, he's bewildering Lord Brahma for a purpose. It's part of his pastimes, but there's also a bigger purpose. So we can stop here. If there are any questions first, and then if there are no questions, we can entertain comments. Any questions about any of this? Yes, Prem Sankirtan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So everything that we do, even the devotional service, you'll get some reaction. So in Bhagavad Gita, there are two verses where it's explained, and after some period of time in devotional service, you get some destination. You can, if you're not completely pure, you go to heavenly planets. Another one is then after some period, longer period of time, you also go up and come down, and you can be born in a family of Brahmana. So my question is also, I think Prabhupada someone said that some of my, I don't know if he says some or how many, my disciples, they will go to heavenly planets. This is what he said. So my question is, how you know what is parameter, you know, what is measure, how long you are performing devotional service, then short, what does it mean short one and for a long one? Is for many lifetimes or how many years? What does it mean?
Yeah, devotional service is not measured, the result of devotional service is not measured necessarily by how long you've been performing, because it's a continuum. And somebody could be born in this lifetime having practiced for many other lifetimes. But the real thing is, at some point in time, you have to fully surrender to Krishna. At some point in time, you have to fully surrender to Krishna. So that point in time comes differently for all of us. I have mentioned several times about when I was in San Diego, one gentleman happened to be Indian. It could have been somebody else, but he happened to be Indian gentleman. He came to me and said, Prabhu, can I ask the question? Sure, sure. How long, or not how long, how many times do I have to chant the Hare Krishna mantra before I reach perfection? So I said, it's not a question of numbers. It's not a question of how many times you chant. It's the quality of your chant. No. But we're chanting, we're advised to chant 16 rounds every day. I'm doing that. But in essence, how many days do I have to chant 16 rounds before I reach perfection? It's not a question of time, I said. But he couldn't get it. Because he, in his mind, from his cultural background, there must be a fixed number, 100,000 or 200,000 or 300,000, you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and then boom, you become perfect. But it's not like that. Our desires ebb and flow, and it's all desire driven. Do we really want to know Krishna? Like Krishna says, janma karma chame divyam evam yo taktva deham punam naiti mameti. If you take the time to really understand the transcendental nature, my position, my activities, my pastimes, then at the end you'll come back to me. But do we really want to go to Krishna? That's the question. Do we really want, the Prabhupada kept drumming in the internet, back to home, back to Godhead, Nameless Magazine, back to Godhead. But do we really want to go back to Godhead? Or would we like to go again to New York or Bora Bora? Or you see? The same old, chewing the chewed, round and round the globe, going here and there, looking for love in all the wrong places. Or do we want to experience the full-on, unlimited love of Krishna, loving relationship with Krishna? That is up to us. And sometimes we're charging ahead full speed, and then for whatever reason we slow down, we may even go backwards. Fortunately, whatever forward progress we've made is never taken away. And that's why we see again, sometimes people leave and they come back and boom, they're right back where they left off. Or a person is born and it seems immediately they take to devotional service when it's introduced to them, and they at a very high level, because they were performing in a previous lifetime. So it's up to us ultimately to answer your question. It's not a question of how long you've been performing, or it's a quality of a devotional service which is fully dependent on you. Do we really want to try our best to please Krishna in every respect, to follow Krishna's representative, or do we want to come up with our own, you know, way? Like I said yesterday, Srila Prabhupada has translated Bhagavad Gita based on Krishna's dictation. He said that. Krishna dictated these books to me. So from the viewpoint of a Sanskrit scholar, some of Prabhupada's translations are not accurate. You know, why did he put this in that wasn't there? Or why did he leave out something that was there? Or, you know, they become caught up in the technicalities of Sanskrit translation. But that's not what Prabhupada is presenting. He didn't say, I'm presenting to you the most technically, perfectly translated Sanskrit. No, he never said that. I'm giving you Bhagavad Gita as it is, meaning that the meaning that God wants you to get out of his words, you will get when you hear from Prabhupada. But again, even some of Prabhupada's disciples who learned Sanskrit were nitpicking that. Why did Prabhupada translate it this way? The scholars will never agree. Who cares what the scholars agree or don't agree? Prabhupada is giving you Krishna's viewpoint. That's what he came for. He, being completely is hearing Krishna directly, completely, he can give us what Krishna wants us to have. And if we don't have faith in that, then our progress slows. If we start questioning Prabhupada's presentation of Krishna consciousness, our progress will definitely slow down. So that's up to us. That's up to us. Okay. Wait for the mic. I know you don't need a mic, but the internet needs it.
I was told by some devotees that if we are chanting the holy name offensively, then even we are chanting millions of times, we are still will be in this material world.
Oh, we recite that every morning. Bahu janma kore yade shravana kirtan tabutana paya krishna padi premadan. If one is infested with the 10 offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, despite his endeavor to chant, you know, he will not get the love of God, which is the ultimate goal. So that's the goal, is to get the love of God and reawaken that which is already there. It's not something Prabhupada said that you have to go out and buy. It's already within you. But by the hearing and chanting process, nitya siddha krishna prema sadhya kabunai shravanade shudachitta kore yavidai, by agreeing to hear about Krishna from the right source, not just anyone and everyone, from the right source. And that's what I was cautioning yesterday about the Acharya commentaries. How do we know? It's not that every book that you pick up that says it's, you know, this is a commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti or Jiva Goswami. It's not necessarily factual that it was translated by a devotee, because if it's translated by a scholar, forget it. Avaishnava Mukhor Gina Putam Harikatamritam. Don't hear it if it's from just some scholar. But what the devotees give us, and Prabhupada gave us already all of this. He sat down up here and elsewhere while he was traveling with all the Acharya commentaries, and for every verse he would go through, he would look at Vishwanath's comments and Jiva Goswami's, and he would take the essence of that and present it to us. If he had put all of the previous commentaries for every verse, the books would have been, you know, 10 times larger. And he knew that he couldn't do that. So he took the essence of the commentaries as he went along and gave them to us. So it's not really necessary for us to go back. You know, some devotees, maybe for writing some article or something, yes, but for the vast majority of us, it's not necessary to go back then and look at Jiva Goswami's commentary or this one's commentary. It's not really necessary. You can, if you want. But my point is, if you're going to do that, where did this commentary come from? Who translated it? Because as Prabhupada himself showed and mentioned, translation of Sanskrit is not A, B, C, D. It's not just because I learned Sanskrit I can take a book and translate it into English. You can do that, but you may be missing the essence because you're not in tune with Krishna. You're doing it from a scholarly perspective. And Prabhupada showed that it's more important to be in tune with Krishna than to give the accurate scholarly translation. That's Prabhupada showed it himself in his own books. He wasn't concerned that some scholar is going to be mad that I didn't translate this as accurately in Sanskrit from Sanskrit to English as he would have. Who cares? Prabhupada is giving us what Krishna wants us to have. Mother Karuna, and then we can stop.
Thank you for your nice class and the verses about Queen Kunti, about Krishna being an actor, that, because I've been thinking a lot about that lately. Is Krishna... He's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, but can he also forget that? And like as an actor, can he just enjoy the part so much that he is not an actor? In other words, an ordinary actor, he has to suffer actually quite a lot, you know, to play his part properly. And if he can really get absorbed in the part, then that's a moment of transcendence for him. You know, so he has to really work for it.
Yes.
You know, but as Krishna, as an actor, it seems like it would be quite the opposite.
That's the achintya aspect. That's why our philosophy is given to us by Lord Chaitanya. It's achintya, beta, beta, tata. Beta, abeta, tata. Achintya first. If you leave out the achintya, the inconceivable part, then you can't understand anything. So Krishna's position is such that inconceivably, he can forget it, and the same time and time he does not forget. Otherwise, the first verse of the Bhagavatam is wrong. Abhigya, it says. He knows everything, all the time. So that's there. You can't take that aspect away. But he can, by his will, become so absorbed in his own pastimes that apparently he forgets and he's enjoying just like an ordinary child, an ordinary, like that. So both parts are there.
Lord Chaitanya is such an excellent example of that.
Yeah. He's Krishna, but at the same time he becomes so absorbed in becoming a devotee of Krishna that he apparently completely forgets that he's Krishna. Yes. Jai. Rantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivedanta ki jai. Hare Krishna.